poor of Psalm 119, the psalmist's confession, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. And verse 125, I am thy servant, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. And verse 141, I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Then verse number 19, I am a stranger in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me. And the last one is verse number 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. And we trust that we may have helped tonight to say what we would like to say. We say oftentimes so little using so many words, but it's not so easy at times. But we have been noticing in the psalm these interesting lessons for all of us, that in a very simple way, what the psalmist considered himself to be, first of all, in his relation to God, that he was the Lord. That's the beginning. Without that, there cannot be any other service or connection in relation to the Lord. There must be that link, linkingness to him. And then we want to notice again that following being the Lord's, we are the Lord's servant. Each one of us brought into a place of responsibility that we have been saved to serve. It's not necessarily in giving one's time, all their time, to the preaching of the gospel, but no matter in what sphere of service we may find ourselves, to recognize that we are the servants of the Lord. The same as the apostle wrote to the Colossians and reminded those that were slaves in those days, ye serve the Lord Christ. So that in the most menial service, we can render that service as to the Lord. And hence, we'll do it as perfectly as we can. And then we looked at the other thought, I am small and despised, as indicating the psalmist's opinion of himself. I am small and despised. No high thoughts. He was the Lord's and the Lord's servants, but it led him to see just how small he was in the Lord's sight. And possibly the other view of the verse could be that the fact that he had taken that place in relation to the Word of God, when others were despising the Word and forgetting the Word, he found himself separated from them. He was one that did not forget the Lord, and he was despised on that account. And then to come to the last two that we have read, that I want to notice very, very briefly, we have in verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. If we link the psalm with Daniel, as Mr. Newbery's Bible suggests, it certainly would make a very interesting connection. If Daniel could say that I am a stranger in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me. It is true that he was a stranger in Babylon, but at the same time, he was a stranger occupying a very high and honorable position. He was a man that was very, very high in that kingdom. But at the same time, he recognized that he was not of Babylon. And I think that the Lord, brethren, would have us remember that. Our Lord Jesus in his prayer in John 17 could remind his own people that they were taken out of the world. First of all, we were in the world and of the world. But there came a moment when we heard the gospel and we accepted the Lord Jesus. And in that moment, we were taken out of the world in God's reckoning. And then we were given to the Son. He could thank God the Father for those which whom thou hast given me. And then we were sent back into the world. Not in that actual bodily sense, but in God's reckoning. We were taken out of the world because we're not of the world. Redeemed from the world, redeemed out of the world. And now we've been sent back as a redeemed people to witness for the one that has redeemed us. And so that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We've been sent into the world. And I think that's what we could have in the psalm. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. We also are noticing that at the beginning of each section of 8 verses where we have read from, you notice that there's a little word. In verse 17, it's a word, Hemel. And that simply means, according to those that know, it means camel. What is a camel? It's an animal, but the word here is Hemel. Isn't it interesting that the psalmist could say in this connection, I am a stranger, because that would link one exactly with the desert. The camel is called the ship of the desert. The desert sands, those vast extensive sands of the Sahara and other parts, are likened unto a shoreless ocean. And the only animal that is capable of traversing those sands and finding its way is the camel. Oftentimes, the salvation of itself and of its master as well. And so the psalmist looks upon himself in the sands of the desert. And he said, I'm a stranger. But isn't it nice to see that he does say, hide not thy commandments from me. He doesn't want to lose his way. And so he prays so simply, Lord, hide not thy commandments from me. And I would say, dear brethren and sisters, that we have the very same need. If the Lord should cease speaking to us, what a solemnity, what a solemn, solemn step if we should reach a point in our lives when the Lord has ceased to speak to us altogether. I trust and pray that it may not be our experience. It was the experience of King Saul, and a sorrowful experience it was. But the psalmist did not want that experience. He said, hide not thy commandments from me. But I want to pass on to the other one, to not take up the time. In number 63, I am a companion of all them that seek thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The word at the top of the section here is chef. That simply means a fence. And we ask ourselves, what is a fence? What is it for? Well, a fence is to keep out and to keep in. We put a fence around our homes. We put a fence around our halls sometimes. And the idea is that to keep out unwanted people and to keep in at the same time. And so the psalmist here looks upon himself in a state of separation, separated unto the Lord. But what has been on my mind is this: I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. If we link that with the life of Daniel, it's extremely interesting. You go take a look at the book of Daniel, and particularly chapter 1, and passing on into chapter 2, and you'll notice that there were two classes of companions in the case of Daniel. When Daniel and his fellow youths were taken captive by the Babylonians, they were the princes in whom there was favor. They were intelligent young men. They were well-favored young men. And the king, when he saw them, he requested that of their number that they should be prepared to wait upon him. And they were put to a test. The test was to be that they were to receive a certain ration of food daily for a period of 3 years. And at the end of 3 years, shall we say, there was an examination. And those who had to give the best results were to be selected by the king to stand before him. But we notice that Daniel, when that decree was made, had already made up his mind. That is to say, Daniel had decided
He to not define himself. And I would say tonight to all of us, I needn't speak to the older ones here. They've passed through the experience. But there may be some younger Christians in the meeting that have their life before them. And we would like, dear brother or sister, that you would face up to it like this. There must come a time of decision. It cannot be otherwise. You cannot serve God and mammon. God cannot be served and the world at the same time. No man can serve two masters. There's going to be a crisis in life when the Christian comes to this great decision. What am I going to do? That was what the great apostle said. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you remember how the Lord revealed his mind to Paul. And from that moment onward, right to the very end of the journey, when he wrote those wonderful words, I have finished my course. It was one continual learning the mind of his master and following closely the mind of his master. And that was the case of Daniel. But it would also seem that the three youths were like Daniel, although it doesn't say that as regards their choice. And you remember how that the prince of the eunuchs, he put them on a trial of 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, those three youths were more favored than all the others. And so the test went on. And not only 10 days on that frugal test, but it went for 3 years. And at the end of 3 years, God's word was fulfilled. Them that honor me, I will honor. Well, what I want to say is this. If you read carefully chapter 1, you'll find this word again and again, the friends. That is, amongst the many, there must have been hundreds of those young men taken to Babylon. But they were also companions, although the word companion is not used until you come to chapter 2, where the three youths that stood with Daniel were called Daniel's companions. So that Daniel had a companion. But you say, what are you trying to get at? Well, what I'm trying to get at is this, that Daniel had many friends in Babylon, but there were only three of a like mind with Daniel. In other words, it's not every Christian that makes a close companion for another Christian. That's what I want to say. We have no choice as to our relationships. I had no choice as to what kind of a mother should bring me into the world. I had no choice as to what kind of a brother or sister should be born into that family. But I certainly did have a choice as to what kind of a companion I would choose. And that's exactly what we have here. He says, I am a companion. It simply means that Daniel, if we apply it to Daniel, that he had made a deliberate choice. He made a choice of his companions. And then you say to me, very good. Then how are we going to know a good companion? I think you'll find it in the verse. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Very simply, there are two marks of a good companion in this verse. A good companion for you, brother, you, my dear sister, is this. Is that companion that I'm choosing, does that companion fear the Lord? The second question I put, that companion that I'm choosing, does that companion keep the Lord's commandments? If so, then that's the companion for me. But if that companion is manifesting a spirit or an attitude that does not manifest the fear of the Lord, and if that companion is not walking in the ways of the Lord, that is not the companion for me. And that's exactly what we have in the case of Daniel. Daniel, there were those who, if we should use the word compromise, there were many, many in the case in Daniel's history that compromised. In what way did they compromise? They took the king's portion. And that king's portion was a portion that was prohibited by the law of God that those young men had learned when they were in their own land. But Daniel was just the same man in a distant land as he was in his own homeland. It wasn't a question of being in Rome and doing what Rome did. Daniel was prepared to suffer, and the 3 years were prepared to suffer even a furnace of fire, and they were cast into that furnace. Why? Because they had determined, we shall not defile ourselves. And in fact, they did say to the king, be it known unto thee, O king, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. But if not, know thou, we will not bow. We accept God's will. If God's will is the furnace, we will not bow. God's able to deliver us from the furnace, but we will not bow. In other words, there was conviction, brethren. But isn't it sad to see the company that compromised? And that's what we have in this very, very verse. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and that keep thy precepts. Those 3 years kept the Lord's precepts in that they honored the Lord, they kept his word, they would not defile themselves, they did not defile themselves, and they suffered for it. But God says, them that honor me, I will honor. And what do we find? We find that Daniel was elevated. God honored that. Must have been a wonderful sight. Must have been a marvelous experience for Daniel. I'm sure if Daniel's parents still lived in Babylon, as likely they did at that time, because he's quite young, and it's not so long since he was taken captive, they must have been proud of their boy, and they must have felt it was well that we brought him up as we did. Oh, my God, help us. I am a companion. It may be that your companionship, maybe then the circle, may be very, very reduced. But, dear, my dear brother or sister, there can be no happiness compared to the happiness that is the portion of the child of God that puts God first. Them that honor me, I will honor. I am a companion. I am thine. Thank God for that relationship. I am my servant. What wilt thou have me to do? I am small and despised. Who am I that God should take notice of me? I am a stranger in the earth. May the Lord help me to be in this world a stranger, but not a nudity. As I said last night, that's not what's in the thought here whatsoever. It's in the world, passing through the world, making use of the world, courteous in the world, a gentleman in the world, but not of the world, completely distinct, and last of all, a companion of all them that seek me. The Lord bless his word for his name's sake.